Hi, and welcome to Prosody, WESA's weekly show featuring the work of poets and writers. I'm Jan Beatty, and my guest today is the poet Kayla Sargeson. Kayla Sargeson is the author of the full-length collection, First Read, forthcoming in October 2016 from Main Street Rag, and chapbooks entitled Blaze, Main Street Rag 2015, and Mini Love Gun, Main Street Rag 2013. She co-curates the Mad Fridays reading series and is the poetry editor for Pittsburgh City Paper's online feature, Chapter and Verse. Hi, Kayla. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. Really happy to have you on. I think this is your second time on Prosody, and I want to congratulate you on your new book, First Read, that's coming out.
Thanks. I'm really excited about it. I'm really happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really huge accomplishment, and we're really excited to hear these poems. So you're going to start reading from First Read?
Yep.
Okay.
Frying pierogies on a Monday night. How many women have stood like me in their underwear, flipping potato-filled dough in a frying pan, a man on the brain? I'd never admit to liking the sizzle, the popping sound my stove makes. The body wants weird things. A pat on the head, raspberry-filled chocolate, another blanket. Last week, I almost set my kitchen on fire, didn't know I had the back burner on until I saw flames out of the corner of my eye, like when I saw you standing in the doorway of the tattoo shop, your body on fire with light. I liked the flame, watched it burn my skull painting until I had to put it out. This next poem, I lost a really good friend of mine 2 years ago. His name is Nathan Breitling. He was a poet. And this is from a series of poems I wrote after he died. And what was kind of fun about this one, and I feel kind of funny saying something about writing a poem about somebody who died was fun, but I got to Google things like weird ways people die, you know, which is kind of strange and I guess kind of morbid, but I don't know. I think most things that are kind of morbid are interesting. In this place, at 7:30 a.m., the sun's already hot on my bare back. East Carson's nearly empty. I want to say, my East Carson, but I've learned not to claim what's not rightfully mine, like the pond behind the college where I work, home to one heron, ducks, snapping turtles. Alicia came into work one day, waving her hands. It bit me. The girl at the bus stop in the evening dress and studded gold sandals is lovely. Whitman says, happiness, not in another place, but this place, not for another hour, but this hour. Herons can kill snapping turtles, shish kebab them with their beaks. I could think of worse ways to go, a burst bladder, lava lamp explosion, choking on a hot dog. Consider Susan Cabot, star of The Wasp Woman, beaten to death by her 23-year-old dwarf son with a weightlifting bar. The photo in the article shows her holding three cats, one crawling on her shoulder. The man who gave himself to me decently is dead, and he comes to me in dreams. Jump, he says, jump like the b-ball boys playing at sunset, the sun red-pink over their heads, their skin made silk with sweat. In my romantic mind, they move like they're dancing. This is a next poem from that group. The expert of the weird and unweird. Somewhere in Savannah, the trees bend downward in an alien way, like they're trying to pick up something they dropped. In Pittsburgh, the humidity is so thick it gets stuck in my throat, almost like a chowder, and you know I don't like soup. You've been dead 3 months and 19 days. In Malaysia, another plane goes missing. Aliens, you'd say, or CIA. Miley Cyrus wins the VMA for Music Video of the Year, and a couple rides a tandem bike down Forbes. In Savannah, I stand with Mac on his balcony, and we're smoking your Camel filters. You said it was the only real brand. He's telling me about how he played basketball when he was 9, took his ball to the court, and smashed ants with it. I quit when my parents said it was weird, he says, and looks at me. This would be your territory, the expert of the weird and unweird. I like the way the sun sets above his head. I drown cockroaches when I'm alone and missing you, like to watch their little legs stop moving. You know what it means when you kill animals, my friend in Savannah says. What else can I destroy? You don't visit in dreams anymore. I still yell at your ghost, sleep with your gray flannel shirt. This one is the title poem of my book. It's called First Red. In my grandma's soap opera, The Young and the Restless, all the bad women wore red lipstick, and I loved them. How they cheated on their husbands with the gardener, seduced their sister's boyfriends, committed murder, and flirted their way out of life in prison. My grandmother watched it early in the morning in the family room, and I woke myself up to watch it with her. I wanted to be one of these women, glamorous Nikki, married to business tycoon Victor Newman, or a Jill, constantly at odds with her millionaire mother. Sharon, the innocent teenager, had light pink lips, just a tinge of color. When my mother spent evenings blow-drying my long brown hair, I practiced perfecting a red pout in her makeup mirror, dreamed of pearls and the million-dollar bra. At 4 years old, playing at her vanity table, I was hungry for red. Spanish red, another Estee Lauder, red like my mother's 94 Sunfire, her silk comforter, the prettiest negligee in the Victoria's Secret catalog. If she was in a good mood, my mother told stories about her 20-something self working behind the Estee Lauder counter at Kaufman's, told me bedtime stories about French perfume and the men who bought it for their wives, the hundreds of lipsticks she sold in a week. She gave me red lipstick dreams, taught me how to test lipstick on my hand to see if it was the right shade, and instructed me. Follow the shape of the mouth. Always use a lip pencil. Keep a steady hand. Kiss a Kleenex to get rid of the extra.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Prosody. I'm Jan Beatty, and my guest today is the poet Kayla Sargeson. She's reading from her new collection entitled First Red, which is being released in October 2016. Kayla, I wanted to ask you about the use of popular culture in your poems. I was thinking about it, and then Miley Cyrus came in, and then all the soap opera people in that last poem, and it's kind of interesting because they seem to appear so organically in your work. They don't, you know, seem out of place at all. So can you talk about the choice as a writer to include those references?
Well, I love pop culture. Yeah. And, you know, I guess, you know, it's clear in my work, it's always been really important to me. And I guess, like, as a kid, I mean, these were the women I kind of modeled my appearance off of, because they seemed to be, they were beautiful to me. And when it comes to Miley, I'm crazy about her. I think she gets a real bad rap. And I like being grounded in what's happening outside of the books I read and the life I live. And I think pop culture is fun. And it gives me something else to think about. Like, what is Beyonce wearing right now? I don't know, but I kind of want to know.
Right. And there is that, and it seems to add a lot of energy to your poems also, that appearance. You know, never know who's going to appear. And there is also that link between working class culture and, you know, popular culture, as in there are a lot of poets who would not choose to put those references in their work. So I guess I'm wondering if you have anything to say about that.
Yeah. People tell me sometimes, you know, I can't believe you have a master's degree and subscribe to Vogue. You know, what kind, you know, and even when it comes to the punk stuff that I care about, that is also pretty, you know, it's a working class movement. You know, somebody said to me once, you're the only punk I know who subscribes to Vogue. What kind of punk are you? And I thought that question was kind of insane. But, you know, I don't try to be, you know, as multifaceted as possible. I'm just interested in more than one thing. And I think it's important for my work and for me as a person to stay as culturally relevant as possible. And I don't want to lose that. So I like to know what's in for the fall. And, you know, I just read that Beyonce, I don't know why I'm thinking about Beyonce
today.
Yes,
here she is again.
Arranged for one of her backup dancers to be proposed to on stage. And I think that's really cool.
Is Beyonce in any of your poems?
No, but I think she should be.
Yeah, I think that's coming.
I think when I go home, I have to write a Beyonce poem.
I think that's coming. Okay. Could you read some more poems?
Yeah. This next poem is actually a straight up working class poem. My family lives in Beaver County. Actually, most of my family, oddly enough, is concentrated in Monaca. So here's a poem about my hometown. Monaca, PA. I know black, the cold Western Pennsylvania sky, no stars. My grandmother's 2.5-bedroom house in a too grubby to be something still town with dive bars where you can get a Miller Lite for $1 and Pabst for $3 if you're feeling fancy. Where my dad's a member at the Sons of Italy Club, and he takes me there to drink, well, gin and tonics while he flirts with the bartender. Doesn't come to my defense when the men in the bar try to take me home. My grandmother calls him an idiot, and if there's a hell, she's sure he's going. But couldn't hell be right here when the sun sets above the long-abandoned paper factory? My ex-lover still parks across the street when he picks me up and still smiles when I get in the car. We get high before he drops me off again across the street, and we make plans we may or may not keep for when I come home again. At no later than 11 p.m., my grandma goes to bed. With a cigarette between fingers, I watch TV through the window while she sleeps upstairs in a blue fleece nightgown, electric blanket on. And this is another poem for my friend Nate. For Nate, January 17th, 1986 to May 15th, 2014. 4th of July, you held that bottle of Arbor Mist over my mouth until I finished it. You patted my head. Good girl. We sat on Jeff's roof and threw stones at trees, talked serial killers. You said your neighbor had Jeffrey Dahmer's brain in a jar. I wanted to see it. You said, no, Kayla, he's probably crazy. On the brown line, you told me to kiss you, didn't bother to wipe my blue lipstick from your mouth. 90 degrees in Chicago, you wore dark blue jeans. I wanted to hold your hand, but was too afraid. Your black and white tee, the last thing I saw you in. Your dead mother's ring. Imagine what it looks like at the bottom of the Chicago River. Onyx and diamond, gold band. You said, there's no one else I'd give this to. The stone combination that cools off love and think about us, cooler than a couple cucumbers and orange push pop. Two ice women, not in love, but in something. You, so unhappy and hard to touch. Me, in love with someone else I couldn't and still can't have. Your dead mother's ring could have paid a month's rent. Now at the bottom of the Chicago, chucked off a tourist boat on a dare. Do it, Kay. You won't do it. You know you don't love her. The ring bounces off the side of the boat, one plink, and it's in the water. My Titanic moment, the lightness I feel with it gone. But I never got rid of your books. They're still in my oven. The last line, I always feel like, you know, when I'm done reading the poem, I have to explain that I don't cook, so I use my oven for storage.
I think we got that.
I keep books in my oven. Like Sarah Jessica Parker in her shoes. Which season is our flavor? Which season is our flavor? Which time? When the pearly snow falls, when the city is covered by a heavy blanket. Is that for us? Or is it more like summertime? A polluted river? Are we two geese fighting over a piece of white bread? Which season is our flavor? Which time? Are we neck-nuzzling rabbits? Are we from the same land, the same place? Or are we strangers that don't belong here?
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Prosody. I'm Jan Beatty, and my guest today is the poet Kayla Sargeson, reading from her new book, First Read, that's just coming out from Main Street Rag. Kayla, I wanted to ask you, well, just say, you know, what a great voice you have in your poems, how strong it is. I mean, it's a really strong and compelling voice in your work.
Thank you.
But before we forget, I wanted to mention or ask you about your book party. You're having a book party for your new book. Can you say where it is?
Yeah, it's going to be at Delaney's Coffee on East Carson and 18th, you know, right across the street from the PNC Bank. And it's going to be November 5th. Doors open at 7 and the reading will be at 8.
And you have books for sale.
Yeah,
and you will
books for sale.
Open to the public.
Yep.
Great. Okay, so that's, can you say the date and time again?
Yeah, sure. Saturday, November 5th. Doors open at 7, reading at around 8.
Okay, great. So much to talk about here. Now, I really love the depth of the Beaver County poem, you know, the Monaca, the long-abandoned paper factory, so many really great concrete details in your work, and which I think seem to interact with all with the popular culture details and this strong voice. Can you talk about, I know you work really, really hard on your poems, as many people do, but can you talk about what goes into the crafting of a poem for you?
Are you asking me to talk about how I write a poem?
You could do that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot goes into it. But usually what happens is I'll be out, you know, usually I get poems when I walk. Like, I walk around a lot. You know, I don't drive, so I have to walk to the bus stop and, like, places like that. So I get a lot of my poems when I'm walking, and either I'll think of an image or I'll think of a line. And the Beaver County poem specifically came from a workshop I was in. That was an assignment that, you know, my class gave me. Mm-hmm. And it was really hard to do because I felt like I had to kind of stray away from what I was focusing on, which at the time was punk poems and heavier and darker love poems, to focus on this area that I have a strange relationship with. Mm-hmm. I love my grandma, but I don't go home very much. And I grew up surrounded by the mills, and I didn't really appreciate it until I was older. And I like to write about things that make me uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And I guess I remember when I was working on the poems about Nate, you know, when he died, somebody told me that when somebody dies, you shouldn't write about them for a year. I don't know who told me that, but I remember walking down East Carson Street and I saw an ambulance by the Rex on 17th, I think. And I really started thinking about like the person who's going into the ambulance and what's happening with them. And that was the summer Nate died. And I wasn't writing. I was just walking around like a crazy person. And that's when I knew I have to write these poems. Mm-hmm. So it was that moment with the ambulance. And then I turned around and started writing those mm-hmm. poems, which ended up completing my manuscript.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think that's good for people to hear, especially, you know, people wondering where to find poems and how to access them. I mean, you know, walking around, I think, is one of the best ways, and being open to whatever you see and not listening to what people tell you is very important. I don't know who told you not to write for a year, but I mean, everyone has their own timeline, as you know. But one thing I like about your work is the range of poetry, because you have the, you know, the hometown poem, the popular culture poems, the last poem that you read was an HD imitation. Yeah. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that one, yeah, is definitely an HD imitation, but that poem feels so far removed from my other work. But I wrote it when I was living in Pittsburgh the first time. And I was living in a studio apartment, and it was during the snowstorm of 2010. And I was just boxed up in my apartment, and all I could see from my window was white. Mm-hmm. And the whiteness just stayed in my brain. And I think that poem was due for a class, so I didn't have too much time to work on it. But I find even that staring out a window helps, because, you know, I never know where I'm going to get my poems from. So I make as conscious of an effort as I can to stay as open to things as possible.
Right. Okay. Could you read some more poems?
Sure. Frida Kahlo, Punk Hero. For you, Frida, I'll put on my black veil and go to the other side of town where he lives. And, you know, there's always a he, just in hope that I'll find you somewhere in Chicago's Mexican Museum of Art. Frida, I'm one of those pathetic girls who love someone just out of reach. I wear his phone number and red Sharpie on my hand, semi-permanent ink branding me. I've been thinking of getting your face tattooed right under my shoulder. I've read 3 versions of your biography, memorized all of your paintings. How did you stand it when you weren't with Diego after the divorce? Did it ache somewhere, like the spot on your sternum right above your breast? Is that why you chopped off all your hair, drank until your blood turned to tequila? I've been stoned and coked up for over a month straight. I can't look him in the eye sober anymore. Frida, I just want to make everything wet and sticky, like juice from an orange running down the world's face. There are times I get so lonely I can't breathe. I've spent years practicing your punk face in the mirror. You stare straight ahead, never smiling. I get my upper lip waxed only because my hairdresser will do it for free. I want to live underneath your dress, cling to the thick part of your thigh, become the sweet fruit Diego couldn't live without, and every man and woman who met you craved. What he does. My lover's hands cut hair 8 hours a day, are bathed in talcum powder. He says, I've missed your thick hair. A Leo, always in a hurry, no time for baby or darling. His dry hands guide me in the dark. Death poem with Ouija. Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night freezing. The windows are shut and the furnace is on. I know some souls just can't stay dead, need a little more attention after their time's up. Their rowdy punk rock spirits will never be at ease. But I can't feel you. I don't think you're here. It's your ghost I want to visit me, help pick out a new black dress, decide between the plaid skirt or the black one, to tell me it's okay that I bought a new eye makeup palette instead of paying bills, So I get out my Ouija board, hope to talk to you, but instead I just get pesty Paul Warhala, who has a lot to say about his brother Andy. Where are you, Christina, so beautiful and peaceful in your grave, 1 year after you died? Your lips the color of the strawberries you like to drown in your martinis. I remember your baby shower, your feet so swollen you had to wear flip-flops. 9 months later, you're dead, and I never said goodbye, just wrote I love you on your Facebook wall over and over, like that matters. The night you died, I dreamed of feathers and black pumps. Dear Nancy, my mother doesn't know what to do with me either, said. I married your father only because I was pregnant with you. I don't know why she drinks. You called your mother mommy. I call mine to keep her from calling me. From her, I learned to love dangerous men, to drunk dial, look away. After you died, your mother wrote a self-serving book about you. If my mother wrote about me, it would be smart mouth, always in black, circus of boyfriends, questionable friendships with women. She was born in 1958, same as you. Her, drunk by 11 a.m., orangey hair color faded, leaning against the couch, watching Lifetime. You and I could have gone shopping for leather skirts, fishnets, could have dyed our hair blonde, teased it. You could have taken me to see Aerosmith, told me bedtime stories about the New York Dolls and Greenwich Village in the 70s.
Time for one short one.
That one was from my series of poems about Nancy Spungen. And, you know, I feel like it should be a no-brainer that that's about Nancy, but somebody came up to me once and was like, oh, I love those poems about your aunt. I felt really bad. The Night You Died for Christina. I watched The L Word with Lisa and Lauren, you didn't know them, and complained about not having pot and about not having money to buy pot. When I went to bed, I dreamed I was wearing a hot pink boa and a glittery tiara and black patent pumps you would have liked. I rolled around in something green like money or pot or the dress they buried you in.
The poetry of Kayla Sargeson. Thank you so much. That was really good.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yes. I also want to mention one more time that you've been listening to the First Read, which is the name of Kayla's first book that is just being released from Main Street Rag. And we want to congratulate you once again.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Prosody, WESA's weekly show featuring the work of poets and writers. Writers appearing on Prosody also have their work showcased in Chapter and Verse, a biweekly feature in Pittsburgh City Paper, the Arts Entertainment News Weekly, published every Wednesday. Prosody is produced by Jan Beatty. Our sound engineers are Michelle Stoner and Lisa Alexander. Please tune in every Saturday morning at 6:30 for Prosody 90.5 WESA.